Will the House please come? Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson.
Here.
Bagby.
Here.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Carson.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Cohey.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Dirks.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Gilmore.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Hales,
here.
Hallinan,
here.
Hammonds,
here.
Harshman,
here.
Harvey,
here.
Illaway,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Jorgensen,
here.
Landon,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Lubno,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
McComey,
here.
Mercer,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Miller,
here.
Millen,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Patton,
here.
Peasley,
here.
Pedersen,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Philp, Korberg,
here.
Roscoe,
here.
Simlick,
here.
Shepperson,
here.
Steward,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Thompson, Throne,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Zwanitzer Dan,
here.
Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
60 present.
The prayer for the day is being performed by Reverend Robin Chance from the St. Christopher's Episcopal Church.
Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, grant that your presence and power may be known throughout the state of Wyoming. Have mercy upon all of us who live and work in our rural areas and towns, and grant that all the people of our state may give thanks to you for food and drink and all other bodily necessities of life. Respect those who labor to produce them, and honor the land and water from which these good things come. We also commend to your gracious care and keeping all the men and women of our armed forces at home and abroad. Defend them day by day with your heavenly grace. Strengthen them in their trials and temptations. Give them courage to face the perils which beset them, and grant them a sense of your abiding presence wherever they may be. In your abiding love, amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Will the House please come to order? Thank you, Reverend Chance, for your prayer again today. The Journal Committee report, please.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 14, 2009 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Barbuto, Representative Moniz.
The doctor of the day, where is Representative Peasley? I thought maybe Representative Peasley would want to introduce the doctor of the day, since I believe it is his son, Stephen Peasley, from Wheatland. But Dr. Peasley, welcome. Thank you. We'll proceed into introduction reading and reference of bills. We will have a special event here shortly when they come over from the Senate. So we're at that order of business of introduction reading and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 18.
House Bill 18, introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to elections and voting rights.
House Bill number 18 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 98.
House Bill number 98, introduced by Representative Mullen.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to crimes and offenses, mandatory minimum sentence for sex abuse of a minor.
House Bill number 98 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 115.
House Bill 115, introduced by Representative Mercer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to DUI penalties.
House Bill number 115 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 121.
House Bill 121, introduced by Representative Davison.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to firearms, restriction on state firearm registration.
House Bill number 121 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 137.
House Bill number 137, introduced by Representative Mercer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal procedure, videotape, depositions, minors.
House Bill number 137 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 141.
House Bill 141, introduced by Representative Gingrey.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to driving under the influence.
House Bill number 141 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 147.
House Bill 147, introduced by Representative Stewart.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to Child Protective Services.
House Bill number 147 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 149.
House Bill 149, introduced by Representative Gingrey.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to notaries.
House Bill number 149 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 150.
House Bill 150, introduced by Representative Lebnum.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to peace officers.
House Bill number 150 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 159.
House Bill 159, introduced by Representative Stewart.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to crimes and offenses regarding criminal street gangs.
House Bill number 159 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 165.
House Bill 165, introduced by Representative Lebnum.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to civil procedure, adult adoption.
House Bill number 165 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 155.
House Bill 155, introduced by Representative Harshman, an act relating to higher education matching funds programs.
First reading of the bill. House Bill number 155 is referred to Committee number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 37.
House Bill number 37, introduced by Representative Gilmore.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to veterans' property tax exemption.
House Bill number 37 is referred to Committee number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 66.
House Bill 66, introduced by Representative Anderson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to property.
House Bill number 66 is referred to Committee number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 89.
House Bill 89, introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
first reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue sales tax holiday.
House Bill number 89 is referred to Committee number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 95.
House Bill 95, introduced by Representative McComey.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue regarding sales and use tax distribution.
House Bill number 95 is referred to Committee number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 131.
House Bill 131, introduced by Representative Escobar.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to vehicle sales and use tax.
House Bill number 131 is referred to Committee number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 138.
House Bill 138, introduced by Representative Madden.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue property tax refund program.
House Bill number 138 is referred to Committee number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 140.
House Bill 140, introduced by Representative Gingrey.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to annuity premium taxes.
House Bill number 140 is referred to Committee number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 150. House Bill number 152.
House Bill number 52, introduced by Representative Harshman, an act relating to, excuse me.
Sorry. Jumping the gun there. House Bill number 152.
An act relating to professions and occupations, athletic trainers licensing.
House Bill number 152 is referred to Committee number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 163.
House Bill number 163, introduced by Representative Harshman.
First reading of the bill.
Act relating to education, physician, assistant, school.
House Bill number 163 is referred to Committee number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 99.
House Bill number 99, introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the veterinarian loan repayment program.
House Bill number 99 is referred to Committee number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 129.
House Bill 129, introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to agriculture regarding agricultural innovations.
House Bill number 129 is referred to Committee number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 136.
House Bill 136, introduced by Representative Childers.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the federal natural resource policy.
House Bill number 136 is referred to Committee number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 148.
House Bill 148, introduced by Representative Yagi.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish regarding gray wolves legislative declaration.
House Bill number 148 is referred to Committee number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 117.
House Bill 117, introduced by Representative Thrun.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to campaign finance reporting.
House Bill number 117 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 142.
House Bill 142, introduced by Representative Gilmore.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to insurance benefits.
House Bill number 142 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 153.
House Bill 153, introduced by Representative Harshman.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to elections regarding voter identification.
House Bill number 153 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 83.
House Bill 83, introduced by Representative Thrun.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to governmental immunity regarding public transportation.
House Bill 83 is referred to Committee number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 132.
House Bill 132, introduced by Representative Teeters.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to motor vehicles, vehicle registration fees.
House Bill number 132 is referred to Committee number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 162.
House Bill 162, introduced by Representative Millen.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state employee retirement military credit.
House Bill number 162 is referred to Committee number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 28.
House Bill 28, introduced by Representative Gingrey.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue regarding alternative energy.
House Bill number 28 is referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 36.
House Bill 36, introduced by Representative Gilmore.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to telecommunication companies.
House Bill number 36 is referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 81.
House Bill 81, introduced by Representative Gingrey.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to administration of government regarding public buildings, energy, and environmental design.
House Bill number 81 is referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 139.
House Bill 139, introduced by Representative Pedersen.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to consumer credit predatory lending.
House Bill number 139 is referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 156.
House Bill 156, introduced by Representative Brechtel.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to economic development regarding energy performance contracting.
House Bill number 156 is referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 158.
House Bill 158, introduced by Representative Escobar.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to electrical generation and transmission.
House Bill number 158 is referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 161.
House Bill 161, introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the administration of government serving Wyoming.
House Bill number 161 is referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 53.
House Bill 53, introduced by Representative Millen.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to fair employment practices.
House Bill number 53 is referred to Committee number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 119.
House Bill 119, introduced by Representative Dan Zwanzer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to genetic and metabolic diseases.
House Bill number 119 is referred to Committee number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 146.
House Bill 146, introduced by Representative Stewart.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to emergency medical services.
House Bill number 146 is referred to Committee number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 157.
House Bill 157, introduced by Representative Stewart.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to child fatality reviews.
The last bill for our consideration is House Bill number 160. House Bill number 157 is referred to Committee number 10, Labor. The next and last bill for our consideration is House Bill number 160.
House Bill 160, introduced by Representative Landon.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the legislature constituent service allowance.
House Bill number 160 is referred to Committee number 12, Rules. Members of the House, I would like to take a moment this morning to honor our military professionals in Wyoming. It is my distinct pleasure to introduce the Adjutant General of the Wyoming Military Department, Major General Ed Wright. Major General Wright.
Mr. Speaker, distinguished members of the House, it's my pleasure this morning to make some very special introductions. As you've seen in the media and heard now a number of times, this coming year, Wyoming will deploy more soldiers and airmen from the National Guard than at any time in our state's history. Today, it's my pleasure to introduce to you the senior commanders and non-commissioned officers who will lead those soldiers and airmen into battle. As you can imagine, for a member of the military, particularly a leader, there is nothing more important, nothing more sobering than leading young men and women into battle. The responsibility to bring those sons and daughters and husbands and wives and brothers and sisters and grandchildren back to their families safe after a deployment in a hostile environment is one of the most sobering and most awesome things that a person in military uniform, a leader, can do. And these are the soldiers and leaders who will have that burden in the next year. Colonel Rich Knowlton and Command Sergeant Major Kenton Franklin will lead more than 940 soldiers on a one-year mission to Kuwait and Iraq. These soldiers will provide management oversight and force protection of several forward operating bases in Kuwait, as well as convoy security in and out of Iraq. Colonel Denny Grunstead and Command Sergeant Major Tom Lofton, who is unable to be with us today, will lead more than 400 of our Wyoming Air National Guardsmen as they deploy to various locations in Iraq and Afghanistan over the next 4 to 6 months to augment coalition forces by providing airlift and base support personnel. These young men and women that they will command, will do a very great job for us there. I would be remiss in not reminding you, though, that we'll keep as many soldiers and airmen here back in Wyoming to support the state mission, so that if we're called during the next year, we'll be able to support that. So with that, these are our senior leaders that will deploy with the Army and Air National Guard in the coming year. Mr. Speaker, today is also Veterans Recognition Day. I'd like to take a moment to recognize our veterans who are in the gallery and recognize their service to our state and nation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House.
Major General Wright, Colonel Knowlton, Command Sergeant Major Franklin, and Colonel Grenstead, thank you very much for being here. I was privileged to participate in a briefing in Cody about the deployment, and it is a major undertaking. And I am confident that we have the right people on staff to do that, and I wish you the best of luck and Godspeed. Thank you very much for being here. And we're not quite done, folks, so I would also like to additionally recognize the people upstairs, the veterans here. I was fortunate this year to also participate in the dedication of the Korean War Memorial in Cody. That is a beautiful, beautiful thing, and as a result of legislative appropriations. And it's also my honor today to recognize, in honor of the veterans who are visiting the Capitol, we have a special musical presentation by Universal Records recording artist Bobby Chitwood, who is a fellow Codyite. His daughter, Dallas, is in my son Nick's first grade class, and Bobby is here performing in Cheyenne. Bobby, you might want to make a plug for yourself after you perform, but he wrote a special song inspired by a soldier from Casper that he will tell you about before he sings today. Bobby.
Thank you. I want to say how humbled I am and honored I am to have this invitation to sing for our veterans. We were in Reno performing a few months back, and a soldier came up to me and was telling me about his deployment to Iraq. He was also telling me about his younger brother, who followed him into the military a couple years after he did. This gentleman did not have a wife, did not have kids, but he was very close with his immediate family. His younger brother, on the other hand, had a wife and a young child. They ended up being deployed to Iraq at the same time. The younger brother was supposed to follow his older brother back stateside within a couple of months. The older brother came back. His name was Mike. The younger brother never made it back from Iraq. And I was so moved by this story. There's only one way I could get it across to folks, and that's to put it to music. Thank you. every night I take the stage, a four-piece band in the spotlight. I thought the road was lonely, I'm just so scared of missing my kid's life. Well, then I shook this man's hand, I recall after a show one night. Strong hand of a soldier, sadness on his face and tears in his eyes. I'm no lonely and scared, but tonight you take me back to better times. I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, I'm just back from the war, but I left my brother there. He's got a family, I don't. Now tell me, mister, that seemed fair. And he said, how can I say I'm lonely? And who am I to say I'm scared? I left my brother on the front lines, and I'm at home in bed. See, just last week, we got the call we all dread. I talked him into it, fighting together, brothers till the end. Well, he had a wife and kids who was out of pushing him into this, but I swear on his grave I never thought it would end this way. How can I say I'm lonely? And who am I to say I'm scared? I left my brother on the front lines, and I'm at home in bed. And as he walked away, I hung my head. I quit feeling sorry for myself as I remembered what he said. How can I say I'm lonely? And who am I to say I'm scared? I left my brother on the front lines, and I'm at home in bed. And how can I say I'm lonely? And who am I to say I'm scared? My brother's on the front lines, and I'm at home in bed. Well, thank God for the American soldier, for my family safe at home in bed. God bless our troops.
Okay.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you for that moving tribute. It makes us all recognize and remember how truly lucky we are, and that the freedoms that we enjoy are the result of the sacrifices made by the veterans and the family members of those veterans. So thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. That was fabulous. And thank you to all the veterans here today. We honor you and will always honor your sacrifice and service. Thanks so much. Wow. Okay. Wow. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 52, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Connolly, Kraft, Dirks, Yagi, McKim, McComey, No, Brechtel, Lubno, Teeters. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman.
Would the Majority Floor Leader please come up and we'll stand at ease for just a minute. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion passed. We are resolved into the Committee of the Whole. Representative Harvey.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 5. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 5, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure involving interstate compact for supervision of parolees, repeal. This bill was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Begbie, Barbuto, Kennedy, Gingrey, Mercer, Patton, Peasley, Quarburg, Throned. Signed, Representative Gingrey, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Gingrey?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 5 do pass. and I would turn this over to the good representative from Rock Springs to explain the bill.
Chairman Gingrey, there is a standing committee amendment. Oh, excuse me, there is not. Excuse me. Representative Barbato.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and thank you to the representative from Teton County. What House Bill 5 would do would repeal Wyoming Statute 713, 412 through 417, which deal with interstate compact for supervision of parolees. The statutes are archaic and superseded by statutes 713, 422 through 423, which were to become effective in July of 2001 or when ratified by 35 states or territories. In 2002, the 35th state entered the compact, making it effective. The old compact was left in place to allow transition and ability to work with states who had not yet, states and territories that had not yet entered the compact. As of now, all U.S. states and territories are a member of that compact, so 713, 412 through 417 are unnecessary and need to be repealed to avoid any confusion in the future. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of House Bill 5, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill 55, House Bill 05 passes the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 55, and this is the one with amendments. Chairman Gingrey. The first reading of the bill.
House Bill 55, introduced by the Judiciary, an act relating to courts regarding judicial vacancies. This bill was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to which recommended that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Begbie, Barbuto, Kennedy, Gingrey, Mercer, Patton, Peasley, Korberg, Throne. Signed, Representative Gingrey, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Gingrey?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 55 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments. The Standing Committee amendment is simply changing. It was on there as July 1. From hearing the Chief Justice's testimony, it appeared that this incident could arise, so we decided to move it up and make it immediately upon the completion of all acts necessary for a bill to become law. So it's just changing the enactment time.
You have heard the motion on the Standing Committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Standing Committee amendment number one has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Representative Gingrey, Chairman Gingrey.
Madam Chair, and I would turn this over to the good representative from Gillette to explain the bill.
Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I bring before you House Bill 55, Judicial Vacancies, and ask for your favorable consideration on this bill. What we've done is we've created a little bit of a disconnect within our statutes when it comes to appointing circuit court judges. You can see some of the language here where it talks about how the legislature shall from time to time authorize the number and location of circuit court judges. But we only meet once a year. And sometimes things happen in that interim that we need to have taken care of. And so we have asked the Supreme Court to come in and help us take care of that and administer those courts for us. And one of the things we've asked them to do is to do that in an efficient and effective manner. We've come up with a situation where we had a judge retire. We moved one of those circuit, district court judge retired. We moved one of the circuit court judges from that circuit into that district court position, but that gave us then no circuit court judges in a particular county, and that county needed to be served by a circuit court judge. We had then extras in another place within that circuit, but we couldn't move those guys. We couldn't ask them to move, or we would have to pay a lot of mileage and do a lot of other things. So we put in magistrates. We put a full-time magistrate in these places. So we end up paying for extra judges, and that is not efficient. If you look at statute 59206A, it specifically states that in every county receiving the services of a circuit court and wherein a circuit court judge does not reside, there shall be one full-time magistrate who shall meet the qualifications of that position. The court has asked that, based on caseload studies, we come in and we allow them to determine where we need to have those judges live as we're making those appointments. And that is the crux of this bill. Again, I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Madam Chairman.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I see that on page 1, line 12 of the bill, this is existing language on lines 11 and 12. The legislature shall from time to time authorize the number and location of circuit court judges. And then the new language, the Supreme Court may, this is line 14, based on caseload studies, determine where within a circuit the circuit court judge shall reside. So this is, that authority in the new subparagraph B is simply where they will reside, not where they will actually preside. Is that right?
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also have a question with regard to this. In many of our smaller communities, to find quality individuals to serve in these capacities is always an issue, and I think that in terms of our judiciary, quality has to be the number one consideration. And so it's problematic, it would seem to me, when the courts would rule where they have to live. And in fact, if you can find your best qualified people who are willing to commute to serve in another location, that is an issue that I would like to hear how the committee dealt with that aspect of the problem.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I can deal with the first one that the Speaker had the question about, because that was one of our questions. Why couldn't we just change the word reside to preside in line 16? The Chief Justice's decision on that, or what his opinion on that was, the difficulty with the circuit court judge is that primarily what you're looking for is a late night search warrant. And it was important that they actually reside within the community in which they were presiding over, so that local law enforcement officers would have access to that judge in order to obtain those search warrants at odd hours of the evening. The gist of what we're trying to get at here is that the Supreme Court actually has another statute that says they shall supervise the judges. They've actually already been doing this, and then they realized that maybe they didn't have the authority to be doing this, so they wanted to make sure it was in the law that they could be doing what they've been doing the past few years. And here's what happens is the situation. In particularly the 5th Judicial District, which is the Basin area, or the 8th Judicial District, which is Goshen, Platt, Niobrara, those counties. What has happened is, so you'll have a circuit court judge in one town. We have to put a full-time magistrate in the towns that the circuit court judge is not in. This costs us quite a lot of money because you pay the full-time magistrates based on how many cases they're handling, not as a salary. Because the concept was, with a full-time magistrate, that they were just going to step in and handle a few cases. Well, what's happened in some situations is you have the circuit court judge residing in a town that actually may not have as great a caseload as the town that the full-time magistrate is sitting in. And so here we are paying a full salary to a judge, and the real work's being done by the full-time magistrate that we're paying on a per-case basis. The court wanted the ability to be able to, and what they're talking about is upon retirements, that when one judge retires, and we just had this up in the 5th Judicial District, where we had one judge retire in one town, they would like to fill that position, but tell that judge you will be residing in a different town. The other example given is, let's say you have the circuit court judge residing in Worland, and you have a full-time magistrate in Thermopolis. What if everyone, for whatever reason, just some bizarre reason, Worland all of a sudden has no crime, no civil cases, everything transfers to Thermopolis? The court would like to be able to upon that retirement of that judge, say to the new judge, hey, you need to reside in Thermopolis. That's where actually all the cases are, and we'll stick a full-time magistrate over in Worland. That was the concept they were trying to get at. And so hopefully that answers those questions.
Is there any further discussion? Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We had a question from another one of our esteemed colleagues here regarding the quality of the appointments that come in. I've asked a number of people racing around in the little bit of time I had to try and find an answer to that question, because it really, I don't think, was answered well in committee questioning. But in speaking with one of my colleagues from my county, I have learned that circuit court judges are brought forth through the Judicial Nominating Commission, so therefore there is a screening process, and it's a good process that we use, and we try to make sure that we have really good judges come in. Now, the magistrate position, then, is a pure appointment position, and so I just wanted to try and get that answer to folks, and if I have any other things that I need to add to that, because we have not had that question, I don't think, well answered in our committee, I will certainly bring that forth on second reading. Thank you.
Representative Lockhart, Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have a question. It seems as though the argument is strong that this will make more efficient, maybe even save some money. Was there any discussion of the financial improvement that will come from this bill when you had your interim committee discussions?
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We certainly did discuss that at length. The Chief Justice is certainly concerned with his budget. His plan is to not uproot anybody at current. So potentially this really doesn't save money at the current time. What he's wanting to do is implement some of these changes upon retirement of judges. So he doesn't want to tell a judge that is currently living somewhere, call him up tomorrow and say you need to move to a different town. That was not his objective. His objective was that upon retirements, that when they go to fill the position, they'd say, I know that person used to be in Worland, but we're going to fill it and we're going to place you in Thermopolis instead. That was his intent. The intent also, just to give a little bit of history, we used to have a county court system. We moved to a circuit court system. When we moved to circuit court, we had to agree, it was sort of a compromise, to allow these full-time magistrates to continue to exist in certain towns across Wyoming. The objective is to someday phase out these full-time magistrates, because they really are costing us quite a lot of money, and they're actually operating without being appointed as a judge. They're being appointed by the circuit court judge. The circuit court judge picks his own magistrates. So there definitely is a plan, a long-term plan, to phase out magistrates. But for now, because that was the compromise to go from county courts to circuit courts, we have them, and hopefully this will help phase out that plan.
Is there any further discussion? Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a question. I've heard two things, that the selection of judges ought to be on a quality basis, which I agree with, and then a proposal, as I understand it, to limit the area in which they can live for appointment. And, I mean, my first response is we got too many towns where people live, many of them quite close to each other. And I guess I'd like to see a little data, but I may not be able to see that in time, as to what the real situation is, except for a couple of examples, which you cited, and I appreciate. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Madam Chair.
Representative Mercer.
Madam Chair, to address that briefly,
these circuits tend to encompass a number of counties, and we're looking at making sure we have a circuit court judge for each county or a magistrate for each county, not necessarily for every town. And I just wanted to make sure that there was an understanding of that, and we're not looking for 96 circuit court judges. We're looking to make sure that we have each county covered. Is there any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Gingery's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill number 55 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 55 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 67. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 67, introduced by the Revenue Committee, an act relating to taxation of tobacco. This bill was referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue, and was respectfully reported back with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Anderson, Escobel, Madden, Miller, Peterson, Semlek, Wallace, no. Edmonds, Goggles, sign, Representative Anderson, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Anderson?
Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 67 do pass. There is an amendment, but with your permission, Madam Chairman, I'd like to explain the bill. The amendment is on the tax rate only, and I'd like to explain the bill and merit on the bill, and then we'll discuss the amendment as far as increasing the rate.
Please proceed.
Thank you. What this bill does is to take smokeless snuff tobacco off of the excise tax and put it on a unit, weight-based unit. All our other taxes, fuel taxes, cigarette taxes, liquor taxes are based on the per unit rate rather than a percentage of the sales price, and we feel that the smokeless tobacco, especially the moist snuff, should go that way too. The bill does that. One of the difficulties of percentage based is that a lot of times you see that type of tobacco sold in 2 for $3 packages. You're actually not getting any tax at all on that. Additional ounce or ounce and a half that comes there. And so we feel like that the committee felt like that it ought to be changed like other products are taxed of that type. That's really the essence of the bill. It does discriminate, if you want to say, against those cheaper brands. The way it is now, the more expensive brands are discriminated against. So however you want to look at that, the bill came out of a committee with a tax rate of 60 cents per ounce with a minimum of 1 ounce. We see in the future that perhaps there are some units that'll be more concentrated and sell for less than an ounce. No matter what the weight, it'll be under an ounce, it will be that rate that's set. Right now the bill says 60 cents. The way the rate is now, the higher priced products are bringing about 59 cents for a pack of taxes on the taxes. So it isn't tax increase for all of the products that are out there. And we'd certainly answer any other questions you might have. That's the essence of the bill, is to get it back on a per unit basis.
Chair. Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think my good colleague from Laramie County might have just answered the question, but is that how you arrived at the 60 cents, was because of the 59 cents?
Your guess is as good as mine. It's a nice round figure. 60 cents, and it was an increase. It'll be quite an increase on those cheaper brands
but it would be for the more expensive brands, it'd be a 3-cent increase. And the argument with the industry was not the amount of tax as much as to get it over on a weight-based program. And I don't think we'll have a lot of argument about, or at least the committee would not, with the amount of tax.
Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This summer, when I was on that committee, there was some discussion about taxing other products by their weight, other tobacco and nicotine administration devices. We had discussion about nicotinis, nicotine lollipops, nicotine little strips like the breast strips that you can get. Was there any discussion about extending taxation to those devices?
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Madam. There was, according to the department, they couldn't see how we could come to an equitable tax other than the one that's on there now on a excise basis, because we have a lot of other that it don't amount to much in a total program, but cigars come all the way from 2-pound cigars to 2-ounce cigars, and the weight is not listed on the package. It would just seem that administratively impossibility to include them on a weight-based deal.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, just kind of align that same question to the good chairman of revenue. And arriving at the 60-cent figure, was there any, I want to just drill a little deeper on that. Was there any more, any look at what neighboring contiguous states are doing or what the national average is? Or I understand there's 13, 14 states that tax it by the ounce. You know, what is that tax rate or those kind of things? So thank you, Madam Chair.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you. The rate was not even discussed in our committee meetings, and there was a little bit of discussion, if I remember right, in the intern on that, and the feeling I got from the committee was, let's start there and see if somebody wants to do something about it, and more states are going to the weight-based. It seemed like there's five states considering it right now. One state, South Dakota, is considering going back to the other to the excise basis. There was a bill there last year, and it was defeated by a more than 2-to-1 margin. I presume it will be again this year on the deal. But that's the answer to that, I guess.
Representative Milner.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just to answer some of the questions that are being raised. The current manufacturing price of these products at the low end ranges from 98 cents to $3.11, so we tax it at 20%. So the taxes right now on the very cheapest product is 20 cents. It's now going to 72 cents, so it's over 300% increase in the tax rate on the cheaper products. On the more expensive products, the tax rate is going up just under 20%. So it is weight-based now. It was based on the price before. It's up to the committee or the body here to decide what the best policy here is for Wyoming.
We're on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I would like to move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 67 and ask for its favorable introduction. Since the conversation has already started on what the rate should be, I will let you know my guess was not as good as the chairman, so I brought an amendment. Basically, on page 4 of this bill, let me bring the mic a little closer, you'll notice that we're actually creating a whole new category of product under Wyoming law, and so therefore I brought a bill or an amendment to adequately discuss what that taxation on this product may be. 2 years ago, this bill was in front of us as well, and at that time, the majority of this body set a rate of 85 cents. And so that, since that was 2 years ago, I figured 90 cents was a good number for us to start with 2 years of inflation. Since this tax, if this bill passes, will no longer be ad valorem, the fiscal note looks really good right now. But 10 years down the road, even let's say 7 years down the road, at a 3% inflation rate, we'll go from 800,000 to 215,000, according to rough estimates from the Department of Revenue. Some point in the future, maybe 10, 11, 12 years, depending on the consumer price index, we will actually be losing money if we pass this law in its current form. At that point, some future legislature will be lobbied for a tax increase. I think it's better we just set a higher price now when we're creating a new product under Wyoming law. I do have a list of the four. I think there are 11 states that have something close to what we do, what we're asking to do on a per ounce basis. Just for some comparison, Vermont charges $1.49, Wisconsin charges $1.31, Iowa charges $1.19, Rhode Island $1. Our neighbor to the north, Montana, charges 85 cents when they passed this law 3 years ago, and Utah charges 75 cents. So that's a good comparison. I would ask for your favorable consideration at setting a 90-cent tax rate on this product per excise tax. Thank you.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, and appreciate those statistics that you brought to us and have. However, I would want to remind you that with an ad valorem tax, certainly they go up as prices go up, but many things, we're seeing a deflation today too, and that's a possibility, and we would lose a lot of tax money if prices went down as well with ad valorem. So it works both ways on that. And as far as the 90 cents, I don't think I'd make a stand on it. It's up to this body, and that's fine. You know, I don't chew, and so if you want to go double that, that's fine for as far as I'm personally concerned. But I do think that we need to be very careful on major tax increases.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would speak against this amendment, and for the following reasons. The objective here is to fix the tax policy. And as we've already heard, that is increasing the tax a lot for those products that are less expensive, not so much for the more expensive one, but it levels the playing field. And it says this is a fair and equitable way to tax these products. And I would point out that I think the underlying, but so far unspoken theme here is that by greatly increasing this tax, we are attempting to impose morality or socially engineer behavior. And I would just mention to you that the leading tax association in this state, and in fact leading tax associations in the nation, all say that that would not be sound tax policy.
Is there any further discussion? Representative Zonitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, for my second time. I don't think I'm arguing the fact that this bill is before us because it's a product that many people have strong feelings against. We're not talking about cars here. If this was a bill that did cars and vehicles, if you bought a Pinto, you'd have to go into the county tax and licenses and pay so much more tax, you might as well have just bought a Hummer to begin with. So the reason this law exists is because we're taxing a product that's by its very nature somewhat, it's a sin tax. Thank you, Representative Goggles. So I do generally agree with a good representative from Campbell County. But I'm trying to set an adequate tax rate on this product. If we are going to pass the bill, we need to set a tax rate that's comparable to our neighbors that won't cost us money in the future down the road. And we won't have to hopefully bring a tax increase on this product for many years to come in that respect. Thank you.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I guess I'm hearing two different stories here, and I'd like a little bit of clarification. I have information from the lobby that says we'll be increasing by somewhere up in a 200% the tax on this product for lesser known brands and like 20% for the more popular brand. And I'd like a little clarification about how this can happen or how we got ourselves in a position where equalizing this would created this inequity, because this could affect my vote on this bill. Thank you.
Chairman Anderson?
Well, I'll try that. I'm not sure I can explain it to you, but the higher price product has, my understanding, about 85% of the market right now. Whether that'll change or not, I don't know. But an example would be, say, a retailer wanted to do two-for-one on a pack of cigarettes. There would be, if it was an excise tax, they would sell that one pack without any tax on it. And this has been happening in the snuff program. They're packaging 3-for-1 or 3-for-2, and you're not collecting any tax on that free ounce or ounce and a half, whatever comes in those things. So the big change over the last year bill is the 1 ounce minimum. If we went to per ounce and somebody started packaging it in a half an ounce or so, but that it's a different product, that's the big change. It's if you have less than an ounce in one of these products, it still gets that 60 cents the way the bill is written now. If you pass the amendment, 90 cents on that thing. Now, I'm not sure that helped, but if it didn't, don't ask any more questions.
The discussion is on Amendment 1 to House Bill 67. If there's further discussion on the amendment, Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. That was the exact point I was going to bring up, that we are still discussing the amendment. And to answer the fine representative question, at the moment, at the 60% rate, the higher quality priced products would not increase much of a tax rate at all. The lower priced quantity products would increase an extremely large tax rate increase. So the higher we raise the tax, the more equity that we would end up getting between the products. And that's all we're talking about now, not any of the other issues, just where we should base the tax rate. And that's why I thought my comment might be pertinent to answering your question. Right now, if we leave it, then we defeat this amendment. Those two most popular brands out there will not hardly get any tax increase at all. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe you always wonder what the motivation is for bringing these bills. Whose interest is being served? Is it the public interest? We've got two issues here that are mixed. We've mixed them, and that's fine. We mixed them 2 years ago. The question of an industry-specific marketing battle and who gets more of the market share, and what our taxation rate is as a state, often utilized as a means of preventive health care, which is in the public interest. The industry's concern is of none of our concern. So we're being put in a box. And I don't know what the answer is. I mean, the easy answer is what we're always told when we don't understand something, just vote no. And that may be the best thing to do, because we've been put, once again, in a situation of acting in favor of a specific industry or part of an industry, and now we're sweetening the pot with a tax increase, which may or may not be a tax increase. At this point, I'm lost. I guess the best thing, what I'll do is vote no on both of them. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. As I listen to the debate, I think the fine representative from Teton County just summarized it. I think as we look at some of the arguments have been about a social policy, and correct, our largest growth in state budget has been the health department over the last decade. And so we're going to pay for it one way or the other. So there is a social policy question to this. But I think there's another question, too, about who is actually using these cheaper brands. Is this now going to be a regressive tax, because it's going to be folks who have less discretionary money are the folks buying these cheaper products, and probably kids. And so as we do this, there's a couple things to think about, and then also the industry part. There's certainly a part of the industry in this state, you know, it's going to be treated differently than another part. And so it's a hard question. I guess I'm going to vote no on this amendment, probably yes on the bill to kick it into second reading, and then we'll see from there, and maybe we can learn a little bit more in the next day or two. So thank you, Madam Chairman.
Is there further discussion on the amendment? Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On and against the amendment, I don't think that's the proper way to approach tax policy. I'm not sure the tax 2 years ago was a reasonable proposal at 85, but you don't just say, well, that was 2 years ago, let's make it 90 because we might have to increase it in 7 years. There are ways that you can adjust taxes, just like we adjust appropriations and tie them to inflation indexes. So against the amendment and for the bill, I would suggest that cigarettes are taxed on a unit basis. Snuff is not. No one has said to me that the lower end snuff is better for you than the higher end snuff. And I don't believe that that's true. There are so many chemicals in snuff that you lose track. But the issue is, the good representative from Teton County is exactly right. What are the motivations? But what is our motivation on the floor? Our motivation is to have a consistent tax policy, and it seems appropriate to tax it on a unit basis, regardless of the cost of the product, because there are so many products and cigarette products that vary in cost. And we've never had a debate, in my recollection, on the floor about cheap cigarettes versus expensive cigarettes and how they should be taxed. So I think our focus should be on the policy of consistent and equal taxation on those products and how that affects the consumer's use of that product, because obviously that is one of the things we look at. And that influences mm-hmm. our costs down the road with Medicaid and other health-related costs. Thank you.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. We've probably beat this one to death, but I'm going to take one more whack at it. The bill that we considered and passed a couple of years ago was directed at equity between products, and it was on a unit basis. And that made sense to me at that time, and I supported it, and for that reason I'm going to support this bill. The argument of increasing this as a tax deterrent, that was not an argument that we were into last time, and I think we're here. One of the presenters said that this is a 20% increase for the, if you will, the historic higher priced and more advertised brands, and 300% for those that were in the lower one. But I think really the other thing that was in this is that when we do tax policy, and you just see it, we had no minimum size on this thing, and people would go below the 1%, and this is to catch those people who are not being taxed because they got below the limit. So I think it cleans up something that we did last time. So on and against the amendment for the bill.
Representative Zonitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, for my third time and hopefully final. I agree wholeheartedly with the Speaker and with the good Chairman, except for the fact the bill did actually fail in this body 2 years ago. And just on the amendment without the rest of the bill, I'm just trying to figure out why we're at 60 cents. And nobody that I've heard yet has given me a good rationale of why it's at 60 cents. So if this body was at 85 cents 2 years ago, I haven't heard why we've changed, why we're going to go down to 60, regardless of any other tax policy, punishment, sin tax, whatever. Somebody tell me why it's at 60 cents and why we can't be at least 85 cents or 90. So I guess if 90 doesn't pass, I'll try for 85 to keep the will of the body alive at last session. I know we've changed some. But without good evidence of why we're at 60, and I know that other states are higher, let's pass this amendment and make it 90 cents, and we can come back and debate it in second and third reading and just debate the merits of the bill. But on the amendment, I would still ask you to support it and start out at this point. Thanks.
Representative Lebnow.
Madam Chairman, from my faded memory in my past committee, from a committee hearing in my hometown, the testimony was that at 60 cents, it was just a little bit more than revenue neutral for the premium brands and increased the taxes for the tier two brands, I think is what they call them. There was a great deal of testimony that the premium brands were very, very expensive to make, and that's why they're very, very expensive to buy. And the tier two brands are not so expensive to make and consist of different lower quality ingredients than the more premium brands. And so what they were trying to do was make sure that the premium brands continued to pay the same amount plus a little bit more of tax, and the tier two brands were brought up to the same level so that they were all on the same playing field.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, and appreciate the discussion. My hope is that we'll take care of the bill. It's tax policy. I would think that my preference would be that we come with a rate on a different bill, different argument, but let's vote on the amendment, get on with the program.
All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 67, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has failed. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. The amendment has failed. Oh, excuse me. All those opposed, please stand. The amendment has failed. Is there any further discussion on the bill? Representative Sebson.
Madam Chairman, I just wanted to make a quick comment because there was an issue raised by the representative from Teton County and Natrona County that was sort of an ongoing theme as we were considering this bill, and I think it deserves some consideration, and that is that the legislature has been put in a position of sort of deciding whose ox is getting gored in this thing, and that's an easy distraction with this bill because it is clear that the premium, those folks that have premium brands are pushing for this legislation to put them on more even basis with discount brands. But I think the thing to do is to look beyond that and look at the policy, the end result that we get to. And the discussion, which was really unanimous before the committee, was that higher prices on smokeless tobacco lead to less use by the youth of this state. I mean, everybody seemed to agree on that single point. And what this bill does do is take those lowest price brands, those discount brands, those brands that are typically used by youth as sort of entry-level chew, and it raises the prices on them. And it prevents our tax policy from essentially subsidizing those low-price brands, from essentially making those that youth may be drawn to initially because of their low price, and it makes them even more affordable. And so what this tax policy, looking strictly at tax policy, not at who wins or who loses in the industry, it raises the prices on those discount brands. And it makes it less likely that the youth of this state are going to start buying them because they're more expensive. And so if you sort of put aside this distraction of who in the industry wins, who in the industry loses, and look at what is the result of this bill, it's a higher price on tobacco and less use by the youth of this state. And if that's what your end game is and what you support, you should support the bill.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd like to circle back to something that has already been mentioned. Regardless of whether this is a high-priced product or a low-priced product, the way the taxing works now If you buy a promotional package that is 2-for-1 cigarettes, the state receives 60 cents for, or 60, the tax for both packages. But because of the difference between the way cigarettes are taxed by the unit and the way moist snuff is taxed currently just by the price, when you buy 2-for-1 cans, the state of Wyoming only gets tax for one can. We receive no tax dollars for the free can. And I will tell you that I think that that strategy, that marketing strategy, is being used throughout the full spectrum of these products.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Because I was a no vote, I think I need to stand up and just say something. I think the speaker said it well, that we are talking about what kind of tax policy do we want for the state. And I don't necessarily have an issue, setting aside my trepidations about who brought this bill and the motivations for bringing the bill and who's going to get, as we said, their aux cord and who isn't. The glaring omission in the bill that I have an issue with, despite and in rebut of my good friend, the representative from Natrona County, that this will indeed raise the prices on this product, the one word that is missing is temporarily. What's omitted in this bill is the issue of inflation, that this product is not going to, this tax is not going to keep pace with inflation. I was a no vote because of that. Also, and something that obviously cannot be addressed in this bill, but an issue I have, is that there's always going to be product evolution in moist snuff tobacco. They're making it lighter and lighter with more and more nicotine. But the first issue is something, sensing the will of the body that this bill may go further, I do intend to address in the second reading amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Is there any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Anderson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 67 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. House Bill 67 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 101. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 101, introduced by the Revenue Committee, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding excise manufacturing exemption. This bill was went to Committee Number 3, Revenue, and came back with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Anderson, Edmonds, Escobel, Goggles, Madden, Miller, Peterson, Semlick, Wallace. Signed, Representative Anderson, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Anderson?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill 101 do pass. As far as I know, there are no amendments, and I will try to explain the bill. As you know, that we have excluded sales tax on new manufacturing equipment, and there's just a little quirk in that, that when a lot of the big equipment amendment. Yes,
Chairman Anderson, there is a standing committee on this.
I have a standing committee amendment. Thank you for that. It deals with the date to go in installation. But anyway, the all new manufacturing is equipment is sales tax exempt. This quirk that hasn't worked is because sometimes a contractor needs to purchase that equipment, especially big equipment that goes into manufacturing. This was precipitated by the refineries, although there are some other instances where that happens. The department has been able to work around that by insisting that the end producer buy that equipment initially. It works a lot of hardship with invoices and works a lot of hardship with bids on those big projects, and this just makes the law clear that that new equipment is also tax-free. It's no fiscal impact. It's just a matter of cleaning up a part of the statutes. Madam Chairman, I would move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 101, which puts the effective date immediately upon the completion of the necessary things to make it law, rather than July 1st, 2009. I would move that amendment at this time.
Chairman Anderson, that is a committee amendment, not a committee of the whole.
That's right. I'm sorry, a standing committee amendment, number 1, to House Bill 101.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The standing committee amendment number 1 to House Bill 101 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Chairman Anderson.
Are there any questions?
Chairman Landon.
Madam Chairman, I don't have any questions on this bill in specifically. I can see why there's a need to pass this just to follow the policy that's currently in place without causing manufacturers to go through irrational actions in order to qualify. But I did want to just say that I think that we should follow some of the advice that the gentleman from downstairs gave us yesterday. These local taxes and sales taxes are used by our counties and our cities to provide services, and every time we make exemptions to them up here, there's a very large body of knowledge that proves how these exemptions are a false hope, that little depends on whether a manufacturer is going to install equipment to improve their operations and make things more efficient. That decision does not depend on whether it's going to cost an extra 5 or 6%. And I think that we're just fooling ourselves, and we're eroding our tax base and doing an injustice to our local governments whenever we have these exemptions. I'd urge the committee to carefully look at these in the future and try to eliminate these exemptions rather than bringing these onto the floor. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Representative Hammonds.
Madam Chairman, I appreciate
Representative
that.
Representative Hammonds.
Excuse me.
Madam Chair, thank you. Having served on the committee that initially brought this to the body and then to follow it as it went along over time, I'm reminded of the adage that with age comes wisdom, and I'm feeling wiser every day. When we first passed this manufacturing sales and use tax exemption, little did we know that within months, one entity in the state that who would even know it was manufacturing was exempted $200 million that they had. And so that was lost revenue to the state, and that was the sales and use tax on that $200 million improvement, and it was not even in what I'm from a community that has the largest manufacturing base per capita in the state. We were trying to attract new things versus to the state in manufacturing, which is very small in Wyoming. We may, in fact, be the smallest state with regard to manufacturing. I believe we are. Nevertheless, my question for you, Mr. Chairman, I can understand trying to clean up the statute, but as I said, with age comes wisdom. Do we have any knowledge of any businesses in the state that would have something in the works that would inordinately benefit from this particular change to the law that are unanticipated by us? Do we have any knowledge of that?
Madam Chairman,
Chairman Childers. Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I know there's been a lot of use of this, not a lot of use of this one, because it's not very often that they need to use it. It was precipitated by the local refinery that had to expand their business dramatically. One big piece of machinery that only one manufacturer makes, and it had to be with the contractor, and it took a lot of extra attorney work, and the law really does exempt them, but they just had to write invoices different. And I'm thankful that we gave you guys a bully pulpit to talk about those tax exemptions, and I presume that some of you will bring bills to take care of that, but this is unrelated to that, and I would urge your passage of this just so that it'll clear up the bookwork for the department as well as those contractors that get caught in the middle on this.
Is there further discussion? All right. Question being called. Those in favor of Chairman Anderson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 101 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 101 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Madam Chairman, I move that Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. House Bill 5, recommended do pass. House Bill 55, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 67, recommended do pass. House Bill 101, amended, recommended do pass. Signed, Representative Harvey, Chairman.
Mr. Speaker, I move adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Representative Harvey. Committee announcements. Excuse me, Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to re-refer House Bill 62 to Committee Number 2 Appropriations. It has an appropriation within the bill.
House Bill 52.
House Bill 62.
House Bill 62 has not been read in. I believe it is House Bill 52.
52, excuse me.
Absent objection, it is so ordered. Committee announcements. Chairman Illoway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will begin discussing House Bill 9, Subdivisions, Cluster Developments, and House Bill 10, Subdivisions Requirements, at noon in House 18. If the committee can be up there in the next 10 minutes, we'll kind of have a little organizational meeting since we haven't had a chance, but we will not begin discussing until noon.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, House Education, will meet 1 hour after adjournment tomorrow at noon to take up House Bill 33, Expanded Opportunity Pilot Program.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 1 will continue to be working House Bill 80, Sequestration Site Unitization, beginning at noon today. And then for tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., your committee number 1 will take up the following bills. House Bill 164, Prescription Drug Fraud Felony. House Bill 79, Mortgages Redemption Period. House Bill 94, Attorneys Requirements for Admission to Bar. House Bill 107, Stopped Schools Bus.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet at 9 a.m. on Friday to consider House Bill 4, Game and Fish Immunocontraceptives, and House Bill 11, Dogs Chasing Wildlife.
Representative Edmonds. Oh, excuse me, Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm height deprived. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in House Chamber 18. One of the things on the agenda that might not be clear to you, it shows administration energy. It's the energy aspect of the administration will be discussed at the very beginning of the meeting, and we'll follow that with House Bill 111, Clean Coal Task Force, and House Bill 29, Tribal Participation in Community Facilities Program.
Representative Edmonds.
Mr. Speaker, your courtesy committee has 2 reminders for the body. The first one is we are all supposed to smile beautifully for the camera today and tomorrow. That's going on from 8 to 6 o'clock in the LSO basement conference room. You had a reminder on your desk. Don't forget to do that today and tomorrow. The other one is you all got on your desks the Blue Ribbon Winners luncheon that we're having. I wanted to give you a little reminder, something you all should remember. At the very bottom it says the cost of this luncheon will be posted to your courtesy fund bill. It's going to happen tomorrow, which means whether or not you come and eat, you're going to be charged for it. So I'm assuming everybody's going to want to attend this. It's a wonderful thing that the staff's doing tomorrow upon noon recess in B63. And also the staff has decided that they're going to have a little contest with this, the Blue Ribbon Luncheon. So whoever wears the most blue and who is the most blue at this luncheon tomorrow is going to win the award. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Chairman Anderson will have to break out the blue suit tomorrow. Representative Patterson.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, as you know, this is my second term up here, but this month actually marks the 34th year that I've been coming up here, dragged up with one of my actual favorite staff member here, and I'm very excited to work with her again this year. So good morning, Mom.
Sandy, come on out. Sandy Patterson. We'll give you a hug first. And thank you, Sandy. We know it's been a trial for those 34 years. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Since there are a few new people here, I'll go back to what your most recent dress code instruction was to dress blue tomorrow. We had a uniform policy that on Wednesdays, if you had anything that had camel color or camel hair on it, you'd wear that because that's hump day. And so on Wednesday, if you got that, that's an opportunity to wear it. We morphed that also to Tuesday, and we had what we call Ruby Tuesday, and we had a lot of other names for it. We got anything that's kind of maroon. Sometimes it was maroon platoon because it was more maroon than ruby colored, but that's the Tuesday. And there's been a little bit of discussion and encouragement. I was the uniform cop for a couple of years to reinstate that. I'll wait for people to say that's a good idea, and if you do, I'll start reminding people in the future. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, I think, Representative Lockhart. Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On Tuesday, I guess it was, I was afforded by most of you all an extraordinary pair of books of photographs and memories from the last 2 years. It's available for any of you that wish to look at it. And although I haven't known the staff member who is the mother of the representative from House District 7, sometimes she feels like a mother. I've known her for 10 years, and I can't express enough for what Mrs. Pedersen has done with the remarkable product of these books. So if you get a chance, take a look at them and show your appreciation to Mrs. Pedersen for that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Cohey, and thank you again, Sandy. Your committee number 12 rules will meet at 4 p.m. in room 302. Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Today we have a representative who has a birthday, and she's sitting right up front. Would you join me in singing happy birthday to Representative Kraft?
Representative Blake, you will have to start it off.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Well done. Thank you. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we stand in recess until 2 p.m.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are adjourned until 2 p.m.